Good morning, everyone. I decided to try to read the scriptures for us today, and they are found in 1 Corinthians. They are found in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Thank you, Suzanne. Well, this morning we're privileged to have a speaker with us, Larry Alsberger. Sounds to me like he's kind of in the retirement stage right now. Well, very good. He's in his career, he's pastored over at Millersburg, Sunnenberg, Kidron, and Maple Grove at Hartville. And you know that he's an avid reader. So if you have any books that you want to talk about, I bet he's read them. And he can offer you some good ideas about some books to read, too. So we welcome this morning Larry. Would you like to come up? Can we just have a short prayer?
Sure.
Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. And I just pray that what's on Larry's heart, he can share with us, and we'll receive it with gladness. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you. In a sermon at Millersburg Mennonite Church about 8 years ago, I illustrated a point by mentioning that I had pumped iron when I was in college. Now, I had suspected that the idea that this bookish, bespeckled, 160-pound weakling of a preacher had ever pumped iron might seem, well, just a tad humorous to the people. But I was caught off guard by how funny people thought it was. Everyone laughed. Not just a ripple of polite amusement, but genuine laughter. A lot more laughter than I thought was called for. It was obvious that the idea of me, Larry Augsburger, pumping iron was ludicrous. And that got me thinking. Except for those few highly uncharacteristic months when I was in college, all my life I have lived with the understanding that however strong I am, based upon the strength I've developed in living routine life, is just fine. I don't need to make any effort to develop strength beyond that. I don't need to pump any iron. I'm strong enough just the way I am. And I think that's the way most of us are. We slide through life thinking that we're strong enough as long as we have the strength to face routine daily challenges. And I think that's the attitude most of us have about our spiritual lives. However strong I am spiritually, based upon the strength I've developed in living routine life, largely by attending church and Sunday school, and maybe by taking a class or two in high school or college, is totally strong enough. I don't need to make any effort to develop spiritual strength beyond that. I don't need to pump any spiritual iron. We slide through life on the basis that we're okay as long as we have the strength to face routine daily challenges. And so we do know training to develop our spiritual strength, just as I did know training to develop my physical strength. Now, there's a name for the physical state I've lived in almost all my life, and that name is poor physical conditioning. I was strong enough to get by as long as life was just routine. I could carry books. I could hold them to read them. I could mow my lawn. I could till my garden. But periodically, I would experience non-routine times when I just wasn't strong enough to do something that needed to be done. Once I went on an MDS project, and they had to find an alternate job for me because I wasn't strong enough for the job the other men were doing. I'd show up to help people move, but then I couldn't carry my end of the pieces of furniture. My body was revealed as being weak, challenged, and poorly tuned. And I think this illustrates the state many Christians are in spiritually. In poor spiritual conditioning. Oh, most Christians get by. They have enough spiritual strength to get by as long as life is just routine. But there are times, non-routine times, when they don't have the spiritual strength to face the challenges they experience. And their spiritual being is revealed as weak, challenged, and poorly tuned. Now, there are many resources that call people to better physical conditioning. For me, one of those resources is my wife, Jean Ann. Well, perhaps resource isn't quite the right word. Goad, prod, kick in the pants might be more the term that we would use for my wife. But yet, for all of us, there are all kinds of classes and websites and articles and books and CDs and DVDs and all different kinds of things that are calling us to improve ourselves physically. And they're all united in saying, get up out of your chair and do something. Walk some miles, swim some laps, pump some iron. So shortly after that episode of unexpected laughter, at the mere thought of me pumping iron, I decided to do something about my poor physical conditioning. I bought a weight machine. I bought an exercise mat. I bought some dumbbells. And I bought a couple books on training and fitness. And using those books, I defined a routine for myself. And though it's been off and on, I've been pumping iron in various ways, in various levels of intensity, for about 8 years now. Now, no one has ever yet said, wow, look at those biceps. Or, did you notice how buff the pastor is? No. Hadn't happened yet, anyway. But you know what? I can tell you that I am stronger now than I was then. And the difference is that I decided to stop saying, I'm as strong as I need to be. And I began working to increase my strength. And in that same pattern, I think that all of us need to stop saying, I'm as spiritually strong as I need to be, and to enter into a spiritual strength training program. You see, it's a huge problem for the Christian church, that so many of its members do not engage in spiritual strength training programs and are spiritually weak. Now, by spiritually weak, I'm referring to people with a low level of holiness and piety, a low level of biblical awareness, a low level of spiritual discipline, very little transformation of life, hidden and cherished unrepented sins, a decidedly unbiblical worldview, and an inability to respond to spiritual challenges beyond those of everyday life. Vast numbers of people in today's North American church are spiritually weak because they have things in their lives that are more consuming, such as maximizing their economic situation, fixating on entertainment and sports, and keeping current with the latest popular culture. They act as if they achieved spiritual maturity and complete fitness in their primary Sunday school classes or in some high school or college religion classes they took, and that they need to do no further development of themselves spiritually. Many people think about their spiritual strength about the same way as I thought about my physical strength. I'm as strong as I need to be. I don't need to do anything to make me any stronger. Now, there are two passages that should be of grave concern to people who are convinced that they're spiritually strong as they need to be, and they can completely ignore what I'm saying in this sermon here today. First of all, there's Jesus' warning in Matthew 7, that even though many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" He will say to them on that day, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Lord, Lord, didn't I have perfect worship attendance for 40 years? Lord, Lord, didn't I volunteer at the food pantry and at MCC Connections? Lord, Lord, look at all this stuff I did." And he's going to say, I never knew you. And then there's the warning of Jesus in Revelation 3, that because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, in both cases, the people were certain that they were as spiritually strong as they needed to be. But they're informed that they're self-deceived, and they're not nearly as secure as they thought they were. In light of passages like this, I think that just as I repented of saying, "I'm as physically strong as I need to be," and I applied myself to greater physical strength, each of us needs to repent of saying, "I'm as spiritually strong as I need to be," and to apply ourselves to greater spiritual strength. Now, what will this repentance look like? Well, it will begin by our realizing that we really do need to develop some greater spiritual strength, some muscles of spiritual discipline, some muscles of biblical awareness and worldview, some muscles of righteousness and holiness in life. Repentance entails shifting directions and beginning to apply ourselves just as I did when I bought that equipment. We need to say, "The way I am no longer cuts it, and I'm going to apply myself to becoming a new and a stronger me." I'd like to call to our attention two passages that address what applying ourselves to growing stronger spiritually will look like. First, just like with my model of pumping iron, Paul uses physical training as a model for spiritual growth in 1 Corinthians 11, when he says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, the image Paul raises here is of strict training. Just signing up for the event isn't enough. You got to put some real effort in to improve yourselves in order to face the challenges of the event. You can't be satisfied with being no stronger than you were when you signed up. You have to become stronger and work harder. You have to subdue your own desires in order to achieve spiritual gains. And that's what Paul is referring to when he says, I beat my body and I make it my slave. Now, the strict training Paul is speaking of here refers to growth in the spiritual disciplines. And the basic disciplines that we always need to be working on are Bible reading and prayer. And for many of us, just those basics are a challenge. It's hard to find the time to read and to pray. But that's just the beginning point. To increase our communion with God, to increase our biblical awareness and our biblical worldview. And then one can move beyond those into the deeper disciplines of fasting, of silence, of service, and of meditation. Now, the great classic, if you're looking for a biblical recommendation from me today, this is it. The great classic in this field is Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline, a fabulous book in which Foster outlines 12 disciplines that we need to be incorporating into our spiritual lives. Now, the second passage I want to call to our attention is Revelation 3:18, which says, in response to the problem of lukewarmness, which I've already mentioned, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Gold refined in the fire speaks of spiritual characteristics that we should be installing in our lives. Now, the primary one here would be Christ-likeness. One of the best handles we have on Christ-likeness is the fruit of the Spirit. To be loving, joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. To buy gold refined in the fire is to grow in Christ-likeness. White clothes speaks of purity and righteousness, laying aside sin and sinfulness, and striving for holiness, being an imitator of God. And salve to put on our eyes helps us to see the world as God sees it. Now, here we're looking at a biblical worldview. To see the hurt and the pain brought into the world by sin, and to respond with love, caring, and compassion. To have our hearts broken by the things that break the heart of God. Now, the problem with these illustrations from 1 Corinthians and Revelation is that they make us feel like we need to attain an Olympic level of conditioning. They make us feel like we have to be spiritual gold medal winners. And we end up feeling defeated before we begin. We look at 1 Corinthians and we say, well, I know my training isn't nearly strict enough. And we look at Revelation and we say, my white clothes are actually kind of dingy. Unfortunately, these passages make us feel like we need to bench press railroad locomotives and have holiness races with Moses, the Apostle Paul, Saint Francis, and Mother Teresa. And I want to bring us back to reality by returning to my own weight training experience. By now, you've all noticed that I am not a hunk. I have not yet sent any shirts to MCC Connections because the sleeves were not big enough for my biceps. Yet I can tell you that I am stronger now than I was when I made that comment at Millersburg and was laughed at. I started where I was. There's no other place to begin but where you are. And that place for me wasn't very strong at all. And because I started where I was, I moved to a better place, which I suspect is still way behind any of you who ever played football or who work in a physically demanding job, who do construction or farming or something of that nature. I'm sure you're all much stronger than I am. But see, that's not the point. The point is that I'm stronger now than I was then. And I'll continue to work at getting stronger. Marginally, but still work at getting stronger. And in the same way, we all need to begin making spiritual progress from where we are. That's the beginning point, where we are. Now, we know we're never going to make it to the spiritual Olympics, but just to be more capable of handling the spiritual challenges of each day would be significant. So I would like to suggest that we pay more attention to pumping gold in our lives. Yeah, maybe we're not going to turn ourselves into an Apostle Paul, a Mother Teresa, or a Saint Francis. But there's something to be said for turning ourselves into more than what we presently are. There's benefit in that. And so today, I want to leave you with this simple admonition. Let's start pumping gold.